Well, hey, folks, thanks for taking time out of your Friday. A great way to start the weekend here, digging in on the Azure Power Lunch. Today's topic is pretty exciting because it's some information that we just released at the recent Ignite conference, and it really addresses something that I'm hearing from a lot of customers. You know, as we all continue to look at the cloud as the next wave for computing for us, a lot of times people come and they say, well, where do I start? You know, it's kind of complex. It's kind of a mess to consider where to start. And this is really targeted at exactly that. A little bit about me. I'm an Azure technology specialist focused on Azure infrastructure, actually. I'm based out of St. Louis, but I'm part of the team with Siraj and several other folks on the call covering Microsoft's South Central region. So glad to have an opportunity to talk to you guys today. Been playing with this stuff for, well, 22 years professionally. That's when they started paying me for it. But I've been playing with computers like most of us since I was much shorter. Today, we'll talk about just a few of the Azure services updates in addition to the Migrate service. But then we'll dig into Azure Migrate and then take some time to point you to some resources and address any burning questions that we've got. So as folks know, we continue to innovate heavily in the Azure space. You'll see there on the right-hand part of the slide, the lower right corner, just some of the most recent updates. I took that snip this morning just to show the things that are releasing to Azure and the pace at which we're adding value to the platform. Those links in the top right when you get the deck, if you go out to the Azure blog, you'll be able to keep track of just everything that's being posted by our leaders in the Azure space. The Azure updates will give you some of the information that you see right there. And then the roadmap kind of gives you a view into what's coming in the future. A couple I want to call out today. The first is Azure Data Box. One of the things that customers come to me a lot and they say, well, I want to make this move, but I've got terabytes or hundreds of gigabytes or sometimes petabytes that I want to move into Azure. And then they look over at their network guy who's responsible for the WAN, and he just says, no, we're not going to do that because that replication would take such a long time. It really doesn't make sense. Well, today we have the import-export service, and we're coming out now with Azure Data Box, which gives you the ability to take an appliance from Microsoft, dump your data onto that appliance and ship it to us, and then we leverage our network to make that data available to you. So in a matter of shipping overnight and then the import process lets you move hundreds of terabytes into Azure very fast. And the nice part about it is people always worry about security. Well, it's secured in transport. Not only is it a ruggedized appliance, but it's secured with 256-bit AES so that your data is secure. We can't even do anything with it. We literally just get it, we dump it into a storage account for you, and then you can do whatever you need to with it on your account. So this is exciting. Also exciting is global VNet peering. We've added the ability now that if you have virtual networks in Azure that are in different regions, you can now peer those. For a while, we've been able to peer virtual networks within the same region so that if you've got a couple of different VNets that you need to just connect without having to go through the process of setting up a manual gateway and all that, you can do that. Well, now we're expanding that capability. We're in public preview that now you can connect different Azure regions. So say you've got a network in Europe and a network in the United States, you need to make those participate in a larger network, you can do that. And that's made particularly exciting by the recent announcement, I couldn't let this one go by, that we recently completed the construction of our Maria Transatlantic Subsea Cable. This is pretty exciting if you're a networking guy like I like to be. It's just interesting to look at some of the statistics here. We launched this from our Virginia region, and now it's connected into Spain, and we're going to continue on from there. But just the sheer idea of having 160 terabits of fiber that we can use in the Azure network is mind-blowing. That when you think, well, you could have a network in the United States and a network in Europe, and this would be actually the connection between those two, that's phenomenal to think of, that really we're expanding your ability to deploy IT solutions worldwide. So having talked about that, let's dig in on migration. As the cloud comes to the forefront for all of our organizations, we're faced with the consideration of what do we do with the things that we have now? Do we continue to run these things until the servers die, or do we move quickly and get the value out of the cloud as fast as we can? And when we do that, we're faced with a lot of different options of how to migrate. Just a quick summary of those. Today, some people say, hey, let's just leave it alone. Let's just upgrade the OS. Let's go until the server dies, or let's refresh the server. There are workloads where it makes sense to leave that workload on your network in your data center. And Azure is uniquely positioned to work as a hybrid cloud so that we can integrate directly with our public cloud, with your private cloud, with any other of the resources that you've got in your data center. Or what if we're in a public cloud off-premises? What if we want to migrate that? Well, a lot of times you can do that if you want to migrate from another cloud provider to Azure. We have ways to make that possible as well. Then a lot of times we have the option to lift and shift, or what I call your mess for less. Let's pick up the VMs that you've got today. You've already done a great job of virtualizing those on VMware, on Hyper-V, or sometimes you're still running on a physical server. Sometimes you just want to forklift those into the cloud to gain the ability of cost controls, the elasticity so that you can scale the VMs up and down without having to over-provision your capacity. So that's one of the key things that drives people into the cloud, and we're going to speak directly to that today with Azure Migrate. And then a lot of times, the real value in the cloud comes from modernizing those applications, either deploying them in a container format. A lot of us are looking at Docker or have Docker well deployed in our organizations. Or what if we're going to do what we call a cloud-borne application? We're going to leverage the platform services within Azure for data, for transactions, for functions, for queuing, for storage, for all the things that Azure is really good at. Well, a lot of times, refactoring or re-architecting an application for that is a scary option. So folks a lot of times say, well, you know what, I just want to move my VMs into the cloud. And then once I get them on your network, Microsoft, I can leverage that to then start rebuilding my application a piece at a time while I'm getting value out of the cloud. But what happens when folks look at this is they say, well, how do I know how much this is going to cost? I already know how much my servers cost, or I have a good idea of how much my servers cost, but what's it going to cost me to run it in the cloud? Or, hey, it's too complicated. I don't even know where to start with this thing. Should I pick off a piece? Should I do a wholesale migration? What's it going to look like? And then, of course, we all have our day jobs of keeping the data center in production and keeping things running while we make this move to the cloud. Well, Azure Migrate is designed specifically for all of that. We break it into three pieces. The first is Discover. First of all, we kind of got to get our arms around what do we have in our environment. And Azure Migrate gives you the ability to do discovery without even installing agents on your machines. It will help you take a look at what you've got in your environment, do an analysis of that, and really help you get an idea of what it would cost to run that in Azure as far as memory, as far as storage, as far as all the other resources that it's going to need. And the nice thing is it'll also help you find those things that aren't a good candidate to move to Azure. It'll dig into those things and it'll show you, hey, we've got a compatibility problem, or we've got an OS problem, or we've got a version problem, or some other dependency that's going to cause a problem. And it'll also help you mitigate those. So once we've gotten our arms around that, well, then how do we make that move? Well, to date, a lot of times our discussion around migration is, hey, let's do a manual migration. Let's export the virtual hard drive. Let's rebuild the VM in Azure. Let's import the hard drive. That's still a good option for a lot of workloads, but it doesn't have to be that difficult. We've got automated processes now using Azure System Recovery to pick up those VMs, synchronize them on the fly, and then let you cut over if and when you're ready. So it's outstanding for the ability to lift and shift those workloads. And then once we've got them there, let's optimize them. Let's take that third step. And instead of just doing the same thing in a different data center, you know, the old joke is the cloud is just somebody else's server. Well, that's not actually true, because it gives us the ability to take this optimization step. And number one, right size the resources that are being used. Let's not buy more storage than we need. Let's not have more memory than we need. Let's not have more CPU than we need. And let's put this exactly where we need it because of the elasticity. We can stretch up and down as we need to, so we don't need to have that headspace in our environment that we're used to having to have. So what Azure Migrate provides is really tools across that entire spectrum. It gives us, number one, the ability to discover and take a look at our on-premise, both virtual machines as well as our servers. Look at those dependencies, because that's kind of the hidden ghost behind the problem is, okay, we can get an assessment of what are all these boxes, but what about taking a look at how these things interrelate and what the interconnections are between them, so that we don't move something across a WAN link only to find out that we've just added latency to the problem. It will also make recommendations, like I said, for, hey, this is the VM size you should have. That's another common question that I get from customers is, hey, I'm trying to map what I have today to what you have in Azure. And a lot of times that's the wrong question. A lot of times the question isn't, how do I replicate what I have? The question should be, hey, how do I deploy it into the right sized VM on Azure infrastructure? And Azure Migrate Service will help with that as well. It does give us the compatibility reporting so we can make sure you've got a supportable OS in a supportable deployment model, EFI versus BIOS and so on, that we're going to be able to support the disk and the memory requirements that you need. And then really that ability to migrate. Anybody who's worked with Azure Site Recovery, you know, but it's an awesome tool for being able to take those workloads and without introducing downtime, without introducing an onerous copy process into the mix, gives you the ability to lift and shift those workloads kind of on the fly. I see a question popped up. Is this more for IaaS workloads? Yeah. Today, we are architected towards lifting those VMs and moving them up. And then once you get them into the Azure infrastructure, then we can look at optimizing and moving those workloads to platform as a service. Because a lot of times what we're doing is we're running a website or we're running an API or we're running something that could be better refactored into a more flexible service on our platform services. So what does the discovery and assessment do for us? The first thing, like I said before, is it's agentless. A lot of times you look at these scenarios and you say, oh, wow, but I've got to deploy this agent to all my machines. Well, you can do agentless virtual machine discovery where it's going to take a look at all the machines that you specify and do some summary data gathering. And you can get a lot of value out of this. You can deploy for what we call deep discovery, a separate agent, which does go through the process of putting an agent on the machine and doing deeper discovery to crawl through those machines and find out what you have, what the appropriate sizing is, and what the requirements are. And then it will go through cost analysis. And you see a little screenshot of this, and I'll show you in the demo kind of some more detail around what that provides. But based on the findings, the Migrate service will go through the process of helping you enumerate, all right, this is the storage, this is the VM, and this is the networking costs that we're likely to bear for this. And it even lets you introduce what I call the fudge factor or confidence factor, where you can say, you know what, during this data period, we were at low usage or we were at high usage. So you can say, yeah, you know what, I want to add some margin to that, or I want to trim that back a little bit. And the nicest thing is it's low fear. You're not going to get yourself into a situation where you've got everything deployed to Azure and then you suddenly find out, oh, this doesn't work like we expected it to. You're going to be able to do that deep discovery and analysis before you make the move. So once you take that migration step, the Azure Site Recovery gives you the ability then, like I said, to take those machines on the fly and start replicating them into Azure. If you've worked with backup in Azure, very similar, except what this does is this gives you the ability, using the technology we acquired from InMaj, to migrate these things in transit. So it's a data replication model that lets you establish very tight synchronization windows. And once that data gets converged, you can do things like a test cutover. So instead of having to actually fail over your production data center, you can do a test where you're just going to say, okay, we've got this up to a certain point. Can we actually begin running these now? So it gives you the ability to cut those over and can help you manage your dependencies as well, so that if we have systems that need to come up in a certain order, or we've got, the data tier needs to come up before the application tier comes up before the presentation tier, we can make sure that all of those are accounted for as well. So having said all that, given you a lot of slideware, I do want to give you a walkthrough and show you kind of what the experience looks like. Let me move over to sharing my desktop. Raj, let me know when you can see that.
Yes, I can see it now, Andy.
You got it? Okay. So what we're looking at here is just a demo environment where we've created an Azure Migrate project, just an object within Azure, but you can go through the process of defining the project. And when we drill into one of these, you really start seeing all of those pieces that I've kind of hinted at a little bit already. So if we give it a second to come up there, you'll see that on the right, we've gone through the process of doing discovery for this environment. And what it's done is it's discovered 227 machines. It's run one assessment, and then we've built out one group. And I'll drill in on each of these in a little bit. But you'll see what it's done is it's run this assessment on the 21st, and then we were able to build out a payroll group so we can treat our machines into groups so we can make sure we're moving workloads that are tied together. If we dig in on these 227 machines, you'll see that what we've got is a complete inventory of all the machines that are out there. And you can see, well, at a very fundamental, just doing light discovery, we were able to identify the machine name, the cores, how much memory, how much disk, how much storage is recommended, how many network adapters we've got. And you can see that we can go through all of that detail on each of these machines as we need to. Now, again, that's just the discovery. So this is how do we find those? And if we wanted to go through the process of deploying the agent for deep discovery, we can do that. But I wanted you to see what you can do without even having to deploy an agent on that. So if we jump back into our project here, now that we've seen the machines, all 227 of them, we can run an assessment against those to see how those are fit for an Azure deployment. And the results from this assessment show here that just out of this group that we've looked at, we've got 8 machines, 5 of them are ready for Azure. 2 of them are ready, but there's something we probably have to do before we make that move. And 1 is not ready for Azure. So just by clicking on this, we can jump in and take a look at, hey, how do those break out? What are the problems that we've got to deal with here? And you'll see that in this case, most of our machines are ready to go. We've got a green check mark, and it's even recommended an Azure VM size for us. So we can see what we need to deploy. And then we'll see here, we've got a couple with issues. This one, boot type not supported because it's an EFI boot. Stay tuned on that. But here we've got an older OS with best effort support. And if we look, we can see, oh, that's 2008. We need to be 2008 R2 Service Pack 1 or later to be fully supported. So while you can run this on Azure, you may have some support issues with that. And then here we've got a Linux version that is an unsupported CentOS version. But good information to be able to get without even deploying an agent on these machines. You can quickly get sizing and dependency analysis before you even have to go through any heavy lifting. So if we go back to our project here, take a look at kind of the grouping that we've got. You can see also that we can build out groups for these. So this gives us the ability to kind of define, hey, these boxes belong together for a specific solution or a particular application. In this case, we've built out a payroll group. And you can see here, these are all the machines that are associated with payroll. And this is the data that was found. Probably the most exciting or the most interesting thing about this, though, is that coming out of an assessment, you can see that since we're able to do the sizing for the storage and for the virtual machine size and so on, you can very quickly get an idea of here, what's your cost estimate based on these recommendations? Well, here we're looking at $265.60 a month in compute, $2302 in storage, and then you can even see how that breaks down further. So a lot of times, number one, we can technically be assured that this is going to make sense for our organization. But number two, we can be sure that this is going to financially make sense for our organization. Now, a lot of times people will say, okay, that's great. I see what that's going to cost me to run in Azure, but I think it's cheaper to run in my data center. Well, that's rarely the case. Because of the elasticity that we've got within the cloud, it's important to make sure that we're comparing apples to apples. And I wanted everybody to know about this TCO calculator that we've got. I'm not going to go through a full demo of this, but this doesn't just give us a cost analysis of what Azure is going to cost. It helps us figure out what it really costs us to run these in our on-premises data center as well. If you take a look at this, this gives us the ability to kind of build out a model of, hey, we've got so many VMs, so many physical servers, and so on, what OS they're running, how many of them, how many processors, and so on. And this will give us a comprehensive analysis of what it's likely costing us to run these. And this includes costs that a lot of people seem to forget when they look at what it costs to run on premises. Because a lot of times they say, well, my server lease only costs X, and that's all it costs me. Well, they're forgetting things like electricity and data center and networking and storage and virtualization and a lot of the other pieces that are really standing behind that solution and part of the total cost of owning that. And this lets you tweak your assumptions so you can say, you know what, I don't actually pay that for a core or my IT labor. I don't actually pay, you know, I don't actually have that many servers managed by a person or so on. But this lets you use your data to make this accurately reflect what your costs are and helps you drill down all the way down to the fundamental level to get a good idea of what it costs. And then from there, you can take the Azure recommendations or the analysis that we've got and see if that cost makes sense for your organization. But ultimately, once you've got this ready to go, you can then undertake a site recovery. And I can't go into a full site recovery demonstration today, but I've explained a couple of times that what it does is gives you the ability to move those workloads up into Azure and then fail them over when the time is appropriate. But hopefully everybody's seeing that what this does is gives us tools to understand more about how we can get started, understand the dependencies and the complexities behind it, and really start answering some of those questions that, like I said, keeps customers from taking that initial step of making the move that they know they need to, but they just don't know how to start untying that knot and getting the job done. So hopefully this has been informative. Right now, this service is in preview within Azure. You can go to azuremigrationcenter.com to get some more information about this. And you'll see that you can get a video to just get an overview of what the service provides here. You can sign up for the limited preview today if you like to. What that'll do is that'll enable your subscription to be able to give it a try in your environment. And then you can go through the process of discovering, migrating, and optimizing. And there's some good data to help you understand more about this. And I've kind of walked through these a little bit. But there's a data sheet that's worth looking at, and I'll show you what that looks like. An overview guide, kind of to help the business decision makers within your organization get a better understanding of what we're looking at here. And then a technical white paper to help those of us that are in the engineering roles really dig in and kind of understand what happens behind the scenes when we're doing this. So to show you, this is that data sheet that just talks about what does Azure Migrate provide? What kinds of questions is it going to answer? What services are involved? And where can I go to get more resources? Then the white paper from just a business perspective, hey, we all know we're supposed to transform the data center and do more with less, but really what's involved with that? And so this talks about what are the business benefits of using the service and making that move. And then finally, as promised, the technical white paper that really digs in on the what are the nuts and the bolts and the speeds and the feeds that sit behind this. And this talks about what does the service provide, what parts of Azure are affected here. And then a lot of times folks say, you know, Azure Site Recovery is great, but I've already got another partner solution, or I'd like to look at something else because Site Recovery is designed for Site Recovery and maybe we'd like more of a specific migration tool. Some of those that are already supported, Cloud Endure and Velostrata, both are partners of ours in this space, and they can help you make that move as well. The one thing to know, I can't let you guys go without calling it out, is that Azure Site Recovery is free for the first 31 days for any migrated node. So conceivably, once you do your assessment, you've got everything remediated. If you can complete your cutover using Azure Site Recovery within 31 days, it costs you nothing. Other than the storage behind the scenes and stuff like that. But the site recovery service itself, you don't actually have to go through buying the license, paying the fee for the node management under site recovery. Now, if you go on beyond that 31 days, you decide to use site recovery for your data center failover or even Azure to Azure failover if you want to, there is a charge for that per protected node. But this white paper is good because it kind of walks you through the process of, hey, what are my decision steps? What do I use during discovery? What do I do? Am I going to containerize my application and migrate my VMs? How am I going to migrate my data? And really, it just kind of helps with that overall planning process that's involved with that. So with that, I'm going to jump back here to slides. And point you to some more resources. So on the slide deck, once it comes out, you'll see that the Azure homepage, the blog, and the updates are obviously good places to stay constantly up to date on the exciting world of Azure. But then specific on the bottom of this slide, there's a blog entry that announces Azure Migrate, kind of explains what I've told you today at a high level. A link directly into the service, so you can jump in and take a look at it. The migration center link, so you can dig in on the video and those white papers that I was talking about. And then the hands-on lab that I was using just to show you guys what Azure Migrate looks and feels like today is available to anybody who wants to go out and get their hands dirty and play with it and see what they can do. You can fire off an assessment, you can dig in on the machines and see what you want to do, but you can see right there the shortened URL is pretty easy. There's an underscore between Azure Migrate and HOL for hands-on lab. But if you just click the link on that slide, you'll be ready to go. So with that, I thank everybody for your time and attention today. Hopefully you're as excited about Azure Migrate as I am, because this really gets us off the ball and helps us start making the difference that we need to. And other than that, I hope everybody has a great afternoon and a great weekend. Happy Friday.
Hey, thank you, Andy. So, Andy, we had a few questions in the chat window. So, one question is interesting. Does this tool compete with Movair?
I would say it is a complement to Movair. Movair is one of our partners in this space. So, the data that's available in the Movair tool is generally more granular, where this is going to give you, just more information specific to migrating.
Okay, perfect. We have another question from Michael. So are the sizing estimates conservative?
So there is a, like I said, a fudge factor or a padding factor that you can build in, so that if you want to say, hey, add 20% or whatever, generally it's going to target by default the last 30 days of usage and performance data. So you're going to be able to it's going to find your kind of high watermark during that 30-day period. But you can say, hey, build in an extra 20%, or hey, build in an extra 100% if we need to, or hey, tighten it up by 60%. We only need to run small for a period. So use that factor to tweak the accuracy of the analysis.
All right. So I think we are getting some more questions. How does it compare with CloudIn?
CloudIn, I would say, is more of a cost management, so it lets you do the analysis of your running workload. So once you get them in there, use that to kind of get a better analysis of your ongoing care and feeding. So that's a great question, because everybody's excited about CloudIn right now. But this is kind of the precursor to that.
All right. So one last question, I think. Yep. What about HA? Is it automatically factored in for prod workloads?
So it doesn't do deep analysis as far as, how do we need to cluster, and so see dependencies between several presentation tier and several application tier servers. But you will need to provide some oversight to make sure that it's architected right when it lands. Because remember, the HA story changes once we move into the cloud, because we gain the elasticity, the ability to scale up and scale down as we need to. So it wouldn't really be fair for us to make a wild guess, because a lot of times folks say, hey, I've got 7 servers deployed. I only use 3, but the other 4 are there just in case. You don't have to do that in Azure. All right?
Yep. All right. So we are perfect on time. It's 11:30. So thank you so much, Andy. I think it was a great presentation, and thank you so much for presenting us to us here.
You bet. Thanks all. Have a great afternoon and a good weekend.
You all have a great weekend. Thank you.